Welcome to Argue Bros, the podcast that gives you multiple perspectives on today's hottest topics. Hosted by Nico Pingin, Fred in Progress, and Jess Freeman. If you're looking for some inspiration from and for normal people, or simply want to know the bros a little more, you better open up your mind to the fresh perspective that's coming your way right now.
And now, next episode of Argue Bros. You got Jess Freeman with a mic setup. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. New setup.
Just remember, keep it 6 inches from your face. 6 inches. No,
new
no
instructions.
No
new instructions.
Yeah, it's so true.
Hey, we got to adjust, guys, all right? Sorry for the, yeah.
Hey, but it's a growth. You see, like, Fred, you was working at Walmart. You didn't even realize all the negativity that you harnessed was worth it if you learned how to cultivate it into an area that you can benefit others and benefit yourself. Because as you go and keep talking to people and keep consulting with people and you keep seeing the same mistakes over and over, you can start to recognize those patterns that chess players have. Like, after you see the same thing over and over, you can recognize, hey, I'm not the type of person that can give you some help, but I know exactly who can help you.
And that's just part of like the business aspect of it. This is just to keep y'all up, guys. We're just catching up right now. Been like a week or so, 2 weeks now since we talked. We're just throwing shots back and forth, you know? But
bling blow.
That's more I'm trying to change that in my life in general. I have a hard time saying no, and lately I've been doing it where I accept something and then I back out of it because I'm realizing more and more I have less time and I want to focus on things I want to focus on. And I have less time to even recreational enjoy my life. I'm just focusing on work. And so
because you put in respect on
no,
yourself.
I'm trying to say no from the jump now. Because before I've transitioned to saying no afterwards, like I really can't do this. I want to say yes, but I can't. Now I'm getting more and more acclimated to saying no up front, and I'm just adding that to the business aspect of it from my personal life, trying to get better at that.
Yeah, it's tough saying no when it's something, you know, either something that you want, one, or two, when it's somebody that you care about asking you if you want to do something.
Either one of those is difficult in its own right. And honestly, you don't really realize the difference in how difficult or how important it is to say no until you actually do it for the first few times. And I never thought it was a real problem for me until I now realize the limited time I have. And when you actually have something you want to work on, something you want to do, that's when you realize the power of no, if you will.
Yeah. Like having the time to exercise, to work out, or, you know, the time to study. Like, even though you finish school, a true entrepreneur never finishes learning. Some people don't have the capacity to learn every day. They'll do like once every other day or once a week or something like that. Just like how college classes are, like 2 or 3 times a week learning something. But for me, I prefer trying to learn at least 1 to 2, hopefully 5. I try to average like 5 things, 5 brand new pieces of information. No, it's when
silence. I was when you cheese dick.
When you're able to,
you said a cheese dick or a cheese stick.
Pause.
Don't do that.
You didn't like
cheese stick. Stick.
Yeah, there we go. I ain't got a question.
Pole, not Paul. Not Paul. Wait a minute. Yeah, I don't know how to fix that. I don't know.
I'll try to give you an opportunity.
Jeez. Nah, but
hey, blame it on the mic. Blame it on the mic.
That's so funny.
Cheese string.
Ooh, cheese string. Hey. Nah, but yeah, when you're able to learn on a continuous basis, it also helps you understand what you like a little bit more of and what you don't like as much. Because when you learn, for example, that you have, let's say, engaging conversations with certain people, you kind of start to have a feeling about, you know, what kind of clients you want to take care of as a consultant. Or what kind of friends you want to give your true time, attention, and advice. Because there's some people that you can tell them there's a pot of gold left, right. And they're like, yep, whatever. And don't do it. And I know that's got to be infuriating for you when you give people that kind of advice. Like, listen, all your problems, you just told me this is the solution. Here it is. And they'll tell you, yes, Fred, thank you so much. And not do it.
Honestly, that kind of thing, I'm not too worried about that. because I'm learning to separate myself from a lot of things. And just this is literally just more personal stuff. I'm learning to separate myself from my communications, from my emotions, and the fact that I get upset over simple things, stuff like that. And then I'm adding that to the business aspect, because I realize more and more, and you realize too, people realize in general, that as you grow as a person, like you can you grow in totality, if you will. So, for example, I'm improving in my personal life, and that is equating over to me adding those kinds of things to business, just in different perspectives.
Like seeing business differently, or like seeing what personally, like your value. Like
for example, the power of no translates differently to business versus personal life. Using no and using no and negotiating and stuff like that, saying is different from in business. So for example, if I want to say no, I didn't want to go hang out with my friend, is different from no, I got this business thing I got to do, or no, I don't want to take you on as a client. It's a little bit different because different conversations, a different outcome. I'm turning down money for one, and the other I'm turning down time, or I'm turning down a relationship or something like that. A little bit different.
Like as if a client offered you to like do a job during your work hours,
not
you can say
specific.
No.
Not that specific. It's more of the fact that it's a different facet of life, and so it's a different way it's integrated into it.
And it's allowing you to understand what kind of businesses you actually want to venture into?
I wouldn't say all that. I don't have all that thing figured out yet. Life's complicated. What I have figured out is that I'm improving day by day. Exactly, bro. I ain't trying to think that far. All I'm trying to do is what I realized is the power of no, and I'm using that, and I've evolved as a new person today. As of today, I'm a new person, and tomorrow I hope to be another new person. that's literally it. That's all. I just wanted to let y'all know the power of no is powerful.
Yeah, it's like a snake shedding its skin on a daily.
That's just one of the things I've been doing. I went out of town to PA for like 4 days to see some friends, have some time to myself.
Because you know you integrate really well when you have like new information and knowledge. So it is kind of like you are a new person when you get especially specific knowledge and information. It's because you're able to integrate that right away with your core beliefs, especially if it's something that's like logical or mathematically that compels you to change your mindset. It's like you telling yourself like, no, that's an incorrect mindset. I can become well off. I can become free. I can do this. I can do that. If I tell myself no to food, if I tell myself no to games, if I tell myself no to immediate gratification, if I say no to all these things on your own personal time, it just frees up your time. And it's like, okay, now what am I going to do with all this excess time? You can, you know, waste your time away or start studying, start integrating businesses, start telling your friends that thought that you was just a nobody. It's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You know, I'm learning 11 hours, 3x speed web design. And it doesn't feel like I learned anything at all because I wanted to spend 20 hours that day and learn 40 hours worth at 3x speed. It's like, dang, you learned that much in a day and you thought that it wasn't enough. It's like, yeah, I told myself no to everything and I just focused so much and I still felt like it was not sufficient. Ain't that crazy? A crazy mindset like that. And
that's
now it's like,
no, incorrectly. Oh, that
right?
Is.
Right? It's like you're going kind
no
of the
basic
right direction.
Necessities of life.
it's like you're kind of going the right direction. It's just like, it's what life is all about. It's about a constant learning, ups and downs. You know, you expect life to go one way and then just hits you with the curveball. You think things are going to go the way that
you need a Mack truck?
A Mack truck? Yeah. That's too slow for me.
Until you get hit with it.
True. But then again,
it's
sometimes
too slow for you, just like Team USA start.
Yeah, it's like almost like if you go in the right direction, even if you don't go that fast, like if you just say no to the things that are impeding your start, like how trains don't move if there's like a small little pebble in their way. But if it's already going like 10 miles an hour, like nothing small is gonna, you know, and then as it gains momentum, once it's at 70, the train can't even stop itself. Somebody has, you know, the brakes have to stop it because it's going so much. The inertia, the momentum is such a driving force. It's also why I really like sports too, because the momentum Especially when there's like certain plays and stuff like that with sports, it's like the momentum just carries you over. The adrenaline rush in certain situations just push you forward.
I wonder if there's signs behind that, because like that translates over to esports as well, like the momentum shifts. I wonder if there's actually signs behind the how that works. Like is it like a mental game that you mentally feel is easier after you get over that hump of you couldn't break through? For example, they couldn't score, they could stop on basketball like four times going down on offense, and then the final time they come down there and score, and then afterwards they like score six times in a row because the momentum shift and they broke through. Like, I wonder if there's some scientific research regarding that yet.
That'd be cool to research.
That is, it's an interesting concept that you can't really quantify, but everyone can understand it. That the moment everyone understands when the momentum shifts in the game.
I mean, that would be hard to measure. Like, how could you even measure that scientifically speaking? Like,
I feel like the way they would measure that is hormones levels and the way your blood pressure rises and stuff when you're actively doing it and when you're not doing it, stuff like that. That's how I think they would.
But would they do that to, like, the players?
Yeah, they would put them in a live experiment and get the results from that experiment, and they'll probably do it two or three times just to get an estimated result.
I wonder if that's what the like a lot of soccer players, they're wearing this like almost like this bra looking thing underneath their shirts or whatever, but it's actually like almost like a step count thingy. But if technology gets up to the point where obviously it's going to be way more than just counting steps, it'll probably be counting their heart rate and all that stuff, they might actually start to notice trends regarding momentums and stuff like that. Like, you know, maybe your heart has to hit a certain amount of beats per minute plus, you know, other factors. Because if they can measure that, it's like, okay, the way to change momentum or the way that you can get into the zone type of thing is by eliminating your X, Y, and Z factors, which obviously everybody's different. Everybody gets into like their zone a little bit different. Plus everybody gets hype a little bit different. Same with momentum. You know, a lot of people, like, once they do something negative, once they're done, they don't want to retry at all. But other people, they could be like chucking up. They could be 0-30. They'd rather be 0-31 than not try shooting. I forgot who said that.
I think it's kind of a mental thing a lot. Because I feel like that mental stopgap, and then once you break through, it just like it seems so much easier to do it.
Mm. Half the time, the step that's hardest is just the mental step. Everything else is super easy. We just overcomplicate it.
So true. We're always overcomplicating the simplest things in life.
That's why esports teams, and I know other sports teams, have psychiatrists so that get their mind in order. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a fairly new thing. About like a few orgs have it already. A lot more are doing it. Because a lot of the mind is such a powerful thing, especially for sports and stuff like that as well. Performance based stuff in general.
Yeah, because your mind is really the blockade. And so if you have a psychiatrist that can essentially lower what's holding you back, then nothing can hold you back.
Psychiatrist gets a new job.
I want to talk about, because something we were talking about earlier, USA is basketball. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking about gambling on it. They had a gamble that USA would not lose any games at the Olympics or not. And it's so questionable now, because of how many they lost already, and then they're still trying to get switch players out for the team and decide who's going to go to Japan. Could NA lose? Could NA even lose, like, in general?
I mean, that's tough, because think about it. 12 years ago, 16 years ago, there weren't that many countries that could effectively take on Team USA. But now, after the game has been global for that long, like, look, you got the cover athlete, Luka, international player. Dirk, international player. Yeah, two international players that are gracing the cover of 2K. Why? Because, you know, 16 years ago, there wasn't that many, but now there's a lot of international players and a lot of people that are representing their nation with pride and joy. Not even doing it for the money type of thing, but they're doing it for, like, literally bragging rights and to try to put their nation on top. So to say they would win, without losing, that's tough. Because look, they the level lost. Of
players also rose as well. A little player
like,
rose. Huh?
Like look last at year. Look at Australia. Australia's full of NBA stars. France, Nigeria, Argentina. Like, bro, these teams ain't playing. Like a lot of these nations have NBA rosters, like all five. USA obviously, yeah. USA obviously has everybody on the NBA type of thing, but other countries are starting to have them too. That's the tough call. That's
I want
to
see
call.
An NCAA tournament style Olympics thing where like teams, who knows who's gonna win? Just throw them in there and see.
I mean, the Olympics before the Olympics weren't allowing pros.
World War III. No, for real. for real though. You know, the more interesting than that. Is I wonder, does basketball have doping? Like, imagine like the final team that in America has to face the full.
I know, didn't you?
Nothing hurts them.
Like, because you know they dope, they're mad dumping and everything. And other sports, they're mad doping and stuff like that. Why don't we ever hear about basketball?
Because if anything,
they're really strict. I feel like,
and I mean, I'll say if anything, other countries would assume that Americans dope on basketball. Like, bro, how do you explain JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard to countries whose average height is a 4'9" man? Or 5'5" man. How do you explain Dwight Howard?
Testosterone and genetics. Mm-hmm. Got good genetics. America decided to bring a bunch of different genetics over.
I was like, I forgot who it was. Somebody was like, it's the school lunches. They got certain stuff in there.
Bro, it like, gotta be like, something.
How do you explain Zion Williamson, bro? Like, what? This dude just like...
Makes sense, because I skipped school lunch every day.
Same with LeBron. Like, how do you explain these? You know, the one athlete, freak
honestly,
athlete,
if you think,
Giannis.
If you look at it over time, do we really want to get scientific with this and go into history? Over time, medical field and like knowledge in general is increasing, and so with that, the standard of living, the standard of the food, the standard of things we have access to increases over time as well. And so then, I think would that not equate to higher quality genetics? Higher quality over time, life in general, like our life expectancy is going up, different things like that, just because of, just because of science. Of genetic. Higher quality because of what we have
higher
access
quality
to, like
from
like
perspective. Like modified babies. Like what do you mean?
Not just full modified babies, but I'm talking about like we
like
can
taller humans,
taller humans. There's we can Robots? Look at our gene code now, so we can choose better mates that cohabitate our gene, not cohabitate, that complement our genes. We have access to way more people across the world. I mean, how? People do the gene. You literally send in your
Dragon
DNA.
Ball Z, like level detector?
Nah. You send in your like DNA or something like that from them DNA sites. But I would never do though. Because
imagine they
be selling your DNA. They be selling your DNA.
Oh, heck yeah. And they be selling it to the feds. What you mean?
Exactly. Yo, did you hear about that guy who got caught for rape? Yeah. For because he submitted his genes or something like that.
No, I heard somebody. I heard a murderer got caught because like his second cousin or something like that did it, and that's how they traced it to him. I was like what? I was like, what? And my sister was like, hey, do you want to find out? I was like, girl,
I'd rather not.
I was like, listen, I'm not a criminal, but listen, don't do it.
I may be a criminal in the future.
Yeah, chill.
That's a permanent database.
Yeah, that's permanent. You can't undo that. It's like, I was like, listen, if anything happens, I don't want you to be directly linked with me. Like, they're going to be like, gotcha.
I ain't trying to risk that. But yeah, that's crazy how that works. And that's what I'm saying, though. Technology is so advanced now. It makes it easier. We can check our genetics. We can, science prolongs our life now because of scientific discoveries such as the vaccines.
But I heard like taller people live less.
I'm not talking about like specifically tall people who are made for sport. I'm talking about humans in general.
Because it's like, how do you explain Giannis Antetokounmpo?
What, are you telling me I'm gonna die early?
No, like taller people.
You're like 7 foot?
Yeah. They're known to like...
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's like the body can't handle it or something like that. It's like an optimal, like, you know, you live a certain amount of life or whatever. Average, obviously, because there's always going to be anomalies. There's always going to be people
I feel like that's an old, like, testament thing. Old way of living, old way of thinking.
No, I mean,
in the 20th or 21st century even things like that anymore.
No, and that's actually the reverse. Back then, it's actually taller people lived longer.
Really now?
Yeah. Back then, taller people lived longer, like hundreds. But that's why I'm like, you know, now, you know, that's why it's like, yeah, that's actually true. As technology advances, as healthcare improves, as people are aware of what to put in their body and stuff like that, it allows them to be able to live longer because they're taking care of themselves. Before, people didn't know an apple a day kept the doctor away. Like, they didn't know simple stuff like that. They're just trying to survive. They're just eating whatever.
I believe that's a hoax.
Like a doctor away?
Because these apples are being wax coated. We don't know what else they're doing.
you gotta get some extra sauce on there.
And that's the other thing too. It's like they're pushing it so much. They're pushing the efficiency of everything so much to the point where it's like, is it even healthy at this point?
Bro, don't worry. You just gotta go to Whole Foods and get some organic. You gotta go to Whole. It's funny now. Now we gotta label our food that are normal as organic.
Like, that's so like, crazy. What
food
me.
Was all organic at one point?
Yeah, like that's so crazy. Like,
hey, we gotta go to Whole Foods.
Yeah, like that is it.
Even organic isn't organic.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but I won't complain.
About that, I was we're like, getting bigger. Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like with the gigantification. It's like if your child is able to grow like 6'5" and have an athletic tone. Would you be against the, you know what I'm saying?
What y'all think about marriages that are put together just for the outcome of what the child will be?
I mean, isn't that what they were doing years ago?
Exactly. But what about 21st century now? Because what if, for example, I'm 6'4", I look for a wife that's 6'2" and up, so that way we have a possibility of getting a higher chance of getting a tall one. Yeah, I'm saying, what do you think about that, though?
I mean, before, I would have said like that's, you know, dumb, go for love, but now it's like you can fall in love after being married a couple of years. So and you could be in love with the fact you got a tall son or daughter.
Hey, exactly. I'm like, I'm debating on that now. I'm like,
yeah, well, like that's
have
tough.
A kid with somebody that like I can have a kid with somebody that
that's such a tough,
like, you know what, our kids will look good.
I mean, think about it. People do that.
You don't
people
know this shorty could be the devil, literally. And your but kid will be the devil just like her.
Nah, bro. Okay, hear me out. Think about this. You know we have surrogates. Literally, if you a man can have a surrogate. You give them your sperm. They have the child, and you could be a solo father.
You don't want to do it that way. You know you don't
want to. I'm not saying you don't want to do that. I'm not saying I want to do it that way. I'm saying there's people, like, if you have the money and you want to try to raise a child that's
I mean, you don't even have to go to that extreme.
Genealogical benefits. I know. I'm saying if we go to that extreme, if you have the money, it's only like $50.
You could just go to the simplest extreme, which is like,
I did. Which is choose someone.
Like this. A lot. I know a lot of people, brown and black, who go for lighter skin, just to have lighter skin babies.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
That is something that's simple and everyone does, right?
Yeah, a lot of people do that. It's like, let me go get with somebody that's lighter skinned just so I can have or better hair or blue eyes or insert something so small that most people think it's insignificant. But then in reality, you're vying for that. You're vying to have a child that's a lighter complexion that has better hair. You know, we're just talking about vertical. Like getting with a woman that's physical, 6 foot, yeah. I haven't met a short guy who got with a tall girl to have tall kids, but I know at some point in the future I will, and I'm gonna hear that. Like, yeah, I got my with my. I'm wondering,
does it work? Did it work? I wonder.
Like, I want to see their kids. Like, you know, did it work
at me?
And if it did work, it'd be funny if it was like the male kid came out short and the female daughter came out tall.
Mm-mm. Yo, that'd be some.
That would not work out.
It'll be like, this is not what I wanted. I wanted my son to dunk from the free throw line, not my daughter to just be like supermodel.
First, yeah, facts.
Now you gotta be the father that's spending
it. First woman in the NBA.
Man, LeVar, who's trying to be LeVar Ball next, fam? That's they're gonna marry. So they could try to be LeVar Ball.
Think about it. Think about it. You could be, you could be, if you actually married somebody that's like over 6 feet tall, and if you had two kids and they're both over 6 feet, think about if you pulled
butterscotch teeth. No,
if you pulled a Jacob from the Bible and had like 12 kids, how many of them would all be like over 6 feet tall?
Yeah, I'm debating whether I want two kids or I want 10.
I want a family. I'm trying to.
I'm pulling a Jacob, Abraham. Actually, fuck Jacob. I'm pulling Abraham, nigga.
We need bread.
We need bread.
Yeah. You need land. You need money. Maybe not so much money because the way the inflation is going on right now,
I'm gonna start my own Amish client.
Ooh, yeah. Because then,
if we replace the things that we need.
Yeah.
Less money.
We have our own organic produce. We don't need to go to like wax anything. We don't need to. Cause when I hear like GMOs, I'd be thinking of Agent Orange in Vietnam and just like getting all that stuff sprayed over there and like eating food that has all those like GMO type of things. And it's like, what does that do? Is that why a lot of humans have a lot of cancer today? Because everything is modified to be so efficient. Our sales are so efficient that they produce at an abnormal rate. That's how efficient the food is.
It seems.
It gotten too complicated. I shouldn't have to have a high school diploma to be able to read what's in my food and understand it.
It's kind of funny too how in school we never had like labels on anything except orange juice and milk. Everything else had no labels.
Lunch food, like for real, like lunch food had no labels. It's just you get your plate of food and move on.
Yeah,
move like, down the line.
Yeah, what about the Muslim kids that can't eat pork? Like,
just man, they was eating.
Man, like I know.
Pepperoni
I know.
Pizza. Being in public school, oh, they was taking it. They was like, my dad don't let me eat this.
Oh man, they used to trade for it. They used to trade for that lunch. That chocolate milk got you a lot.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk and the pizza slice was the most valuable things on the lunch table.
And at our school, there's a pudding. Oh man, that pudding, man! I used to trade like everything for pudding, man. Cause that pudding, either the pudding or they had what's this thing?
They had
pie ices? Inside a thingy, inside a container. Oh man, I would trade everything for those pies. Oh,
so bro, you had like a 7-Eleven in your high school?
Our school was big.
Nah, my elementary and middle school, they gave us like regular lunch, but also they just put an icy on the side.
Yeah, it'd be so funny if like unbeknownst to us all, like all that food was just like trying to like prepare us to like eat without labels, not know the difference between a genetically modified apple versus an organic one. Because when you think about it, a lot of the foods that we would hate were like the natural stuff versus a lot of the stuff that people love to eat. Most likely got a little tinkering, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, I feel people in power now feel like that their work is essentially good for the people, but I feel like the main corporations when they first began and like whenever the hell they was, 1700s or whatever the case was, but like ultimately, they knew, like, oh, by the time the fourth, fifth generation comes around, they'll be stupid and slow and dumb, you know what I mean? So,
and they weren't theoretically wrong.
At all.
They weren't theoretically wrong. Honestly, yeah, I'm not even going to get into that. Yes, you are correct. Because that'll go down a whole long tangent of human being society, and I'm a negative person, so that could be a long list.
I mean, think about it honestly. If how you were saying, Fred, that if Team USA was able to face off a team of genetically modified human beings, how would they fare?
How do you like it so far? Don't forget to reach out via social media and suggest the next hot topics to argue about.
Honestly, the good thing about basketball is not completely physical, so I don't think they would lose too badly unless they had like a Giannis. But a Giannis on
like a
team
of Giannises.
Yeah,
like a team of five Giannises.
Oh, yeah, they can't do the wall because there's five Giannises. So,
like, imagine just being in a zone
defense. They
don't
have any skill. They just have to go down low and just muscle everybody out of the way and dunk over and over again.
Yeah, like a zone defense. You can't penetrate a zone defense like that.
No, you can't build a wall against five giant muscular Giannises.
Yeah, you can.
And honestly, they don't have to be Giannises. Okay, I'll say like one muscular Giannis, and then the rest of them are steroids. No, you don't gotta shoot. You just gotta get down low. And if you're way stronger than everyone because you're bigger than them, doped up, it's not that hard to get down low. So yeah, theoretically, it'll be an interesting game. That's why I think we should allow doping in sports, because we should be able to have like the doping league and the non-doping league, and then the doping league championship winner plays against the non-doping league championship winner for a bonus match of a lot of money. Like I'm saying, and that's for all kinds of sports. Like I didn't name the sport. I just for any kind of sport.
That's not.
I don't like it because you gonna have all these random motherfuckers just doping up just to get mad money.
Yeah, we're a capitalist society.
Like somebody's gonna take the opportunity.
If there's money there, there's money to be made.
I don't like the California Gold Rush.
Capitalist, but I don't mind like for my entertainment. That'll be interesting. I mean, there's some people out there willing to dope up.
Yeah, people are gonna do it regardless. It's the same now with cryptocurrencies, where people are selling everything they own to get in on the quote unquote new age gold rush. And then now that crypto is tanking heavily, people have been losing money so bad.
Bro, like, I really would like to, like Black Friday, how they have the videos that come out after of all the people running over to the Walmart. Yeah. I love to have like a recap in people's houses of what they realize all their like they lose all the crypto money. Just like what happening in the houses, you know?
I could already imagine.
How many phones got broke because they looked at Robinhood and threw that shit on the ground or something?
Yo, you know? Like. Imagine how many people took like refinanced their house or took out an equity credit of like over hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. Like when Bitcoin was worth 20,000 and then it dropped to like 3,000 in like less than 90 days later. this is going to go to 50,000. It's going to go to 100,000. Let me take it out now. Boom, crash. Not knowing that it could go back up. But then it's like, and then it sucks because then if they sold it at 3K, thinking that it's never going to go back up, and now that it went back up,
let's think even more. I think it would be even more funny about the people who use their tax credits for COVID, their COVID payments. They used all like 3,000 of it and then lost it all in crypto. Because you know, there's a lot of people who invested in that. That's just how many people are just thinking about, I could have bought this. Mm-hmm. I could have bought that.
I could have.
Like, damn, crypto sucks in so much money. And it's funny how a lot of crypto, just like the stock market with like the pump and dump kind of thing. So a lot of people probably lost their money just either lack of knowledge or they didn't know that they were being misled. Like, you know, there was this scam. A lot of YouTubers were scamming, creating crypto coin, like save the children, some that crypto coin, something like that. They're advertising it, and then they just pump and dumped it as soon as it went live. There's a lot of pumping and dumping and creating of crypto. So I'm not surprised a lot of people are losing money in it. It's just I like to get the inside scoop and watch it live, but you can't do it with some things.
And it's a perfect cover. It's like you can cover your tracks very effectively. And since it's not a real financial asset, you're not doing anything illegal.
You have the gray area.
It's a huge gray. It's like the wild wild west. It's like going to the California Gold Rush. People are doing every kind of crazy thing to get in, and they don't know what they're doing. They're just, I see there's millions of dollars into this, let me throw my 2 cents, not knowing that you're essentially just throwing a monkey wrench in this whole thing. You're just trying to hit a dart that's going at thousands of miles an hour and not realizing you could be rich as heck tomorrow, or you could lose everything that you put in there. That's why
I'm like, we could if I wanted to go the persuasion manipulative route, I could totally come up with an idea where I'd be like, save somebody or some cause, donate $1. I'm pretty sure over time, over the next 3 to 5 years, I could make a good amount of money just doing those kind of campaigns. I mean,
it wouldn't be that effective because you just gave it yourself away right now.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying theoretically, people do it all the time. It's rinse and repeat. I wouldn't do it. And plus, it doesn't have to be in my name anyway. I could be a shadow. Don't you not understand that I don't have to own any of it or be anywhere near the name of it?
Giving himself away. Oh my god.
No, I would never do that. Though. That's why I can say that fairly, because I have integrity.
That's cap.
Y'all bugging. My integrity never allowed me to cheat the people. Okay, maybe 10 years down the line, when that big account looking different, you feel me?
Yo, you sound like Brian Scalabrine, the guy from the Celtics. It's like, well, I didn't play today, but in 5 years, I'm going to tell my kids I dropped 20. In 10 years, I'm going to tell them I was the, I you know, X, Y, and Z. And then in 20 years, I'm telling them that I won MVP.
They ain't never going to know. They ain't never going to know either.
And it's like, let's rewind.
Watch this come back like 5 years from now, like, and I'm on the face of a scam. Be like, oh,
yeah. It's like, let's rewind the tape because it never gets deleted. It's like, you said it right here. I'm going to do it. It's like you said you was going to do it and then you executed very effectively, except you left the cookie crumb, which was, I'm going to do it.
The I'm just thinking about the power of media and the power of how simple minded people are and willing to give small sums of money away easily, that if you can just attack a large amount of people, then you can get a large sum of money using small money.
But realistically speaking, though, you could do something like that and actually add value, though.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that for a while, of what kind of thing, a whole new marketing scheme that provides some sort of value that I can
charge. So easy. Give me a dollar so that way I can help tall people get into chairs for tall people. And this is going to help tall people all over.
I could do actually. Give me a dollar for every time you hit your knee.
Yep, and it's like now, and exactly, and every time you do that, give it to me because I'm trying to create a company for that people.
That's not realistic.
You think so?
I need something that people, when you think about a human, and you think about psychologically, persuasion, people don't really give money to help people build businesses. They give money for emotional connections. Listen to me.
What?
I'm not talking about GoFundMes, and I'm not talking about dealing. I'm talking about
investments.
I'm talking about like for business. I'm talking about they want to give a dollar and they expect nothing in return, like that. So that's what I'm talking about, because I would like to. I'm talking about schemes like that. Those are like the money makers. Like if you can come with an idea or something that has no real value, but you can mm-hmm. create value from it. I think that's way more possible today in this day and age than it was in the past. In the past, they used to do it on the street. But in today, we have so much internet and so much access to the human mind that mm-hmm. if I can just come up with a way, and I wouldn't even really use it, but it's a fun experiment of persuasion and psychology to figure out how can I target the emotional mind of somebody where they'd be willing to give a dollar away to a cause they think is real.
But not offer
and then replicate it and spread it in an easy manner that I can get it to masses. Because all you need is 1% if you get a million people to watch. Because that 1% will give you a large sum of money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Kevin Samuels.
I just think it's a fun experiment.
Look at Kevin Samuels. He's talking as if he talks to normal people and he gets donations. Like, think about in the 2-hour stream, how much money do you think he makes in just that stream? He ain't doing it for free. Like, if his average donation is $5 and he gets 2 to 10 per minute. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's still a lot of work he has to put into it. I'm talking about something I do once and it's replicatable. So, for example, like a landing page website that I can literally just share continuously and they just donate $1. It could even be a gimmick one. Because, you know, sometimes the human mind, they just want to spend money just because it's funny. So it could be a gimmick landing page, pay a dollar. It could be a
Dogecoin started box. Just like that. It could literally be a
website mystery box, pay a dollar to see what's in the box. And it's literally an electronic thing, and you don't get anything physically. Like, imagine a site like that I could do, or something like that, and literally...
You could do that right now. What's holding you up?
The possibility of it not working, I don't think it'll work. Let me think on it.
That's a quitting mindset.
Because I'm just like, let me not tell the fool. I'll talk to you about it off the podcast. Let me keep this internal idea, because this is a possibility of making some real money here. Okay, let's move on.
But it could be a fun venture, though, for real. Think about it.
It'll be a fun side project, for real.
Yeah. You know, and back to the power of no, because when you think about it, the power of no allows you to say, that's not something I want to do. That's not something really that defines me versus, so you know,
no
what?
Something else then.
Exactly. It's like versus that's like, no, this is something I really want. I don't want to be creating websites for people. I just want to create one website and give it to people.
See, like, you know how I wanted to do research and stuff like that? That would be something I want without going to college. So maybe going back to college. That's one of the things I want to do. I want to do like a scientific experiment.
Now you could go to college classes, not necessarily college. You could take
have time.
Classes.
Like, I need to make enough money where I have time to do those kind of things. But that would be an experiment I want to do in the public. I want to see how can I manipulate emotions and see how can I manipulate emotions where they want to do a small action. And that small action will be just paying a small amount of money. Or it could be some other small action, but those are things I'm curious about, you know? Because I've been doing a lot of reading and persuasion of the mind, and it's so interesting how, this is just a random topic, so interesting how the human mind, you can subtly manipulate it without you realizing that you've been manipulated just based off an emotional response. In some like a quick action emotional response, this is something that's super easy to do as well. So it'll be about the funnel of how easy it is to pay that dollar or to do that action as well. So there's a lot of process into it, but afterwards it's something replicable.
Talking about MK Ultra?
No, I'm just curious about how easy it is, because I'm saying we have such access to the human mind more than ever before, and that's what all these companies are doing, is just farming our information and such and learning more and more about us.
I mean,
why don't we use it for our own benefit as well?
It's like all you're talking about, honestly, is just marketing. That's all marketing is convincing somebody to give you money by any means necessary. Whether you're tapping into the emotional mind, whether you're tapping into the physical mind, whether you're tapping into the financial mind, as long as you find something that you can tap into, there's going to be another human being somewhere that's going to understand that. Like, bodybuilders are going to understand, you know, certain like, okay, I want this product because it's going to make my muscles bulge, versus somebody that doesn't care about muscles, they're not going to care about that. So they don't care at all whatsoever. You know, maybe there's certain people that they're going to see a cat stuck in a tree ad and they're like, oh my God, I want to give that cat owner a dollar. And it's like, it's not a real cat. And there's no real tree. But you can send a dollar.
You can't steal this idea, guys. You cannot steal this idea. I'm telling you right now. Literally a website, so you pay a dollar to get a question answered. And it's literally just a yes or no website. So you just pay it. You pay 25 cents.
How would you set up the payment?
You pay. I'm thinking about it right now because I can put where you could load credits onto it, so I can build that function in there.
Would you answer the questions?
No, I wouldn't answer the question. Literally a site to say yes or no. And so literally you pay 25 cents for a yes or no answer. Something like that. Something simple. That's a simple solution to
like
an everyday problem. But yeah. Yeah, but
PayPal,
I have to make
crypto
to pay on it. PayPal, definitely crypto, yes.
And would you use like a bot to like generate answers and stuff like that?
Yeah, it'll be just a random program that generates yes or no, but on a randomized scale. Yes or no question. That's literally just a super general idea of what could be possible with a simple website. That
and you,
I'm saying, I wonder if I could run down that.
I'm telling
creating
you,
a bunch of
dude,
different simple
that's
websites.
That's exactly
that could possibly one that could work.
Dogecoin started out just like that.
Yeah,
it was a meme coin. It was just something that was a bunch
that's
of.
That's a fun thing
balls.
For me. These would be side projects I'm gonna be doing for my entertainment that could possibly make money. That's
yeah,
fun.
Like,
that's actually
really
fun to think about.
If something like that was able to generate a lot of money, it's like, yo, this was a joke. Just like when Musk said that he created that flamethrower and he only made 50,000 in the world, and he told people, don't buy this, it's not good, and it sold out in less than 10 minutes. I was like, this dude just did it for
off
fun
the
and
strength
yeah he so like,
that could be a literally 24-hour weekend project where like I'm on the week this weekend I'm gonna build a website,
and it's like it's so funny
all out, and just that could be literally just 24-hour builds. I could literally force myself to stay up 24 hours and work on a build for 24 hours. That'd be interesting. Let's see what I can
like
come up with.
If you do it on a consistent basis, it's almost like you're throwing out life rafts out in the ocean type of thing. Like if you do one a week, one a month, one a year type of thing, and you never know if something hits and it's like, wow, this was a joke. Like I didn't even put that much time, effort, or anything. But yeah, that's the power of no, saying no to all the things that you don't care about at all whatsoever, and then focusing on the things like even a meme website like that. Yeah, this day and age, if somebody stumbles upon it, they might.
You only need one share. Because how easy it is to get
the initial momentum. That's all you
need.
I don't even watch one person.
What's social media word that people use when things get picked up quickly?
Viral.
Trendy.
Yeah, viral. That's the word. Viral. Yeah.
Yeah, you just need
one. To go viral once, and it'll return profits on investment immediately, just for probably only be like $20 hosting.
What do you think I'm doing with my books? I'm putting out a lot of content in hopes, not necessarily of it going viral, but just in hopes that at some day in the future, somebody stumbles upon it where they're like, hey, I really like your story. I really like the fact that you took your Dominican heritage, you infused it with some futuristic concept about going into outer space with potential gods or aliens, however you refer to them. In my story, they're aliens, but other people in other civilizations refer to them as gods. Anything that came outside of our ecosystem was referred to a god normally. and taking this story and making it a beautiful experience, somebody might say, I like that. I want to do something with that. Can I have permission to use that story? They got to ask me first, you know what I'm saying? And then when Jess Freeman finally launches all his second parts of his stories, it's going to be the same concept. People can reach out to him and be like, hey, I really like your part one and your part two of this particular story. I want to make something happen with this. Can you let us use this story? Or if you ever see something being used, you could be like, hey, I need to get a lawyer because I smell money. Disney took my story. I want every cent. I don't want everything.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Like, thanks. When I heard Coco, the Disney movie Coco, that they didn't pay the people in like Peru or whatever, I was like, man, it couldn't be me. I'd be getting a whole team of lawyers. Oh, I smell money. You use my whole family tree to make this story happen and I get paid? Mm-mm.
Yo, give me about 3 weeks, guys. Y'all are going to be hearing about my first 24-hour web design bootcamp. I'm going to do a web design project. For you know sure. I'm thinking about it now. What you thinking about, boy?
I'm thinking about doing like a mixtape, like remix shit.
Hmm.
I like to make your first long project.
No, I just want to see if I can do it.
I mean, you can do it. It's not that hard.
No, but I just want to see if I can do it good. You know what I mean?
Now that's different. You're putting standards on that. You got to meet those standards now. Yeah, you could do anything you want. You could do anything you want, but can you do it good, though? You do it, or can you do it the way you want it?
That's what I'm debating. That's literally what I'm debating in my head.
I mean, won't know till you do it.
Exactly. Because if you do it the first time and your first, let's say whatever, 10, 12, how many tracks you do, you're like, man, I didn't like this. Scrap it, redo. It's what a lot of artists do. They just keep trying and trying until they figure out something that vibes with them. And they're like, you know, this right here resonates with me. I want to put this out. Even if no one hears it, this is me. Versus this is going to get a lot of clicks and stuff like that. It's like, again, this yin and yang. Do you want to put just anything out? Do you want to put something at high quality, high tier? You could do it however you want, but how is it that you want? But
Oh, no, I already got all that stuff, all that good stuff.
Well, then you could definitely do it then.
Sounds like we got some content to produce.
Because then think about it. You could get some assistance, you know, get some coaching, mentoring, get people to review your work and let you know, like, man, this was booty, or man, why don't you put this out 2 years ago, bro?
I just realized you don't got to be exactly. They're on Fiverr. I'm pretty sure they got like music people that can assist you, audio engineers for cheap. Their Fiverr got $5 and everything. I'm like, I realize my idea is I can just pay someone else to make the website for me. I just got to come with them now. I'm like, okay, that's even cheaper. If I like $100 set aside, be like, make this website for me. And I'll just tweak it, tweak a little bit. Same with your thing. You can get Fiverr's cheap, man.
Word.
We should get sponsored by Fiverr.
You gotta get more accustomed to it. Imagine though if you do.
Chill out. I want to get sponsored by Upworks.
Oh, I don't even know what Upworks. Does Upworks sponsor?
I don't think any of them sponsor. But I'm just saying, if we're talking sponsorships, I'm trying to go to Upworks. Chill out, man.
If you're talking sponsors, I want to talk.
For real. Like, if we're talking sponsors, I'm going Upworks. Forget Fiverr. Forget Freelancer. I'm going straight to the big fish. Upworks, where you at, baby? Where you at, baby? I've been using you for a couple of months. Come on, baby.
Man, give us a few months. We're going to hit Upworks.
Yeah, that'd be crazy, though, being the first people. Like, yo, imagine, though, something like that happens for real. Like, real life. Like, if we get so proficient at the things that we do, different websites or companies reach out like that. Like, we see what y'all doing. We see y'all arguing and stuff on y'all little podcast. We just want you know, we just want to put a little soda in there. You know what I'm saying? We just want you to throw, you know, a little.
Just drink more Polar Spring, all right?
Exactly, because I ain't saying what specific soda. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. with the opportunity arises.
You heard Polar Spring, sponsor me, please. I drink all your water bottles.
Yo, it's one of the things I was telling Fred. Like, what if a rival company hits you up? Like a company that you always despised when you was a consumer, but now that you're a content creator, you're like the other company. Like if you love iPhone and then like BlackBerry or Nokia hit you up, like we got a $15 million deal for you to use this phone.
I mean, I don't mind having an additional phone. As long as it's not written in the contract that I don't have to have, I only can have their phone.
Most of them do. Just like
I think it was like
LeBron. LeBron got offered like a Kia and he took it. And everybody was like, why are you driving Kia? Because they paying him. He ain't driving it for free. They paying that man.
Just like, what's the name? I think it was Pele. Got paid like $150,000. So like for the tie-dye shoe.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone, I want to go back to the friend of marketing.
Yes, bro. That was genius.
Yeah.
And you inflate that. It was like $10 million just to tie your shoes. Like, are you kidding me? Just to tie my shoes? All it took was just like busting everyone's behind playing soccer my whole life. And for tying my shoes,
The subtle marketing is so skillful because the conglomeration of thought, the execution of it. For example, like the website, I have to do the copywriting. I have to do a sales funnel. Like there's a whole bunch of things that come together to form that that marketing moment, if you will.
Or like when Drake was sponsored by BlackBerry and all he was talking was about BlackBerry and everybody kept roasting him, but he's getting paid by BlackBerry. And then when he switched over to Apple, everybody was like, hey, he joined the team. It's like, nah, Apple just offered him a good check.
With that Sprite.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, when you're up there, when you have enough people looking at you, you can decide what you want to do. It's like, do you want to go to where your heart goes or do you want to go where the pocket needs to be filled? It's that balance. You got to decide. You want that freedom or you want that cash? And then going back to the beginning, and then you have the power of no and being like, you know what? I don't want to get paid for that. That's not me. I don't tell people to go buy keyboards. Like, think about it. If somebody's like, hey, for every sale of a keyboard, you get 20%. It's like, how many sales do you guys get per year? It's like, well, you know, we get like 15 million. Where the contract? Well, where that though? I'm taking every Instagram.
Oh, we got Walmart. They do not get 15 million per year.
What happened?
Nah, I said I work at Walmart. They do not get 15 million per year.
Like the keyboards?
Not for keyboards.
Nah.
Like the store?
Yes.
No, that store, they make a million per week.
Man, Justin, with that uniform, yes. God, I don't feel like elaborating. No, no further. No further will I elaborate.
Nah, like, I mean, I said Walmart, but like, is there anything else but a store? I don't know. I don't work at the factory or the. Is it? There is no factory. It's just the fucking back. Like, literally.
Hmm. Who manufactures Walmart's Walmart brand stuff?
What you mean? You know who? Who owns America?
China. Oh, all the great value coming from China because the great value. That is crazy, man.
Yo.
Man, they do great, man. That's crazy. That is crazy. Walmart smart, man.
Me love you long time.
That's very smart.
Me love you long time.
Walmart literally doing what Amazon does, but in store. Like, you know how Amazon literally is buying, forcing people out of business one at a time? Walmart does that in store, like the product, by making the off-brand version over time. Forcing you out, but first they allow you in so that you can create the customer base and then steal it. It's so crazy. I don't know. It's business is so ruthless.
It's business.
But people don't pay attention when they're customers. For customers, exactly. It's beneficial. But
it's a consumer now mindset business and stuff, versus like, a business oh my mindset. God. It's like you can see it like the same. It's like the same store that you walk in with a different mindset. It's like you can see it. So you can see like, okay, this is the name brand right here. This is the off brand right here. And then after a certain amount of time, it's like, it just like swaps. And then it's like the great value just stays in the peripheral. and like the off brand just like keeps moving down or keeps moving away from your hands, and like to the point where it's like the great value brand is just like just covering your face, and every other brand is just like around where you can't see it, and it's still, they're still selling because there's still people that are going to be like, hey, I want to get this brand or whatever. But for the average consumer that's just grabbing whatever's on the shelf immediately at their accessible, and since Walmart obviously knows their average consumer, their average height, average tendencies, because data is so powerful, information and knowledge is so important and vital in business, they're already doing all that. Why do you think Amazon moves so fast and so efficient? Because it's internet, it's online. They have immediate access to all that. But when you're a consumer, you don't really think of things like that because you're just trying to get your deal. You're just trying to get whatever product you want right now at the lowest price. You don't care about nothing else.
The mind in marketing in general is a very interesting thing.
That's why psychology is so like interesting to me. I can't wait until we have guests so that we can just talk and dive into like a lot of psychology and stuff like that. Because that's going to be really interesting and really fun, having discussions with people and just being able to like tap into what they see psychologically speaking. Even if we were to bring up the same very topic with a
hear other people's opinions of it.
Yeah. Yes, a different person is going to be able to take that topic and just like give us a totally different perspective. It's kind of like when a lot of people just like copy and paste a lot of things and then like, they tweak a little bit at a time. Even just tweaking that is a whole different flavor. Like a whole completely different flavor. But, you know, that's just me. Always interested in the human mind and how people think and stuff like that, not to manipulate them like Fred in Progress.
That's one aspect, because that's one of the easiest ways to tell, because you can get a quick response. It's like surface level. If you smack a pond of water, you'll get a response quicker than if you just let a leaf fall on it slowly. So I'm just like, the difference, like if I can manipulate their emotions to make them do something, it's an easier way to understand the process of why they did it than instead of just listening to someone's opinion of something, you know? That's why I went to there first, because I can get the most immediate information. It's like it's so quick, because it makes someone take an action, and then to retrace the steps of why they did it is a lot more information, a lot more in-depth that you can get.
Now, do you guys have any specific projects that are upcoming?
Still working on my coaching, trying to get, may do a few free more coaching sessions, then I'm about to start ramping up the price.
You got your link available out there to people?
Don't have my link available yet. I'm going to post it on my Instagram. Get a free coaching session, 30 minutes.
I was about to send some more people your links and stuff. I was like, you know what? Let me hold off, because he said he's not ready yet.
No, I'll be ready shortly. You'll be hearing about it, guys.
Just Reema, you got any projects upcoming?
Yes, my stories will have to be pushed back a few weeks because of difficulties. Music on the way, stories on the way, and everything else is domino effect, baby.
Now, you said that you was going to do a mixtape. You gotta set a date first. When's it dropping?
Date? May 14th.
Next year?
2022.
Your first mixtape?
Matter of fact, that's too far away.
Yeah, December 25th. I was like, that might be procrastinating too much, my guy.
Man, just think about it. Hey, if it come out early, just be like, hey, surprise drop.
Ooh, that's true.
If it come out late, just be like, hey, the sauce had to marinate a little bit.
Bingo, that's how business. Facts,
that's how I was trying to do it, but nah. Since a date will make me kind of do it more efficient, I'm gonna say Christmas.
Hey, that's not bad. I'm gonna add it to my calendar and I'll hold you to it. As for myself, you could just check
boys.
Exactly. As for myself, you could just check nicopengin.com. I got everything on there. You can also sign up for my newsletter. I drop stories. I also try to put as many people on that I have, you know, foreseeable value that they can add to me and to my team, to the squad. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, that's honestly what I got so far for the Argue Bros episode. Y'all want to add anything before we wrap it up?
Catch us next time.
Good episode. Peace.
Argue Bros out.
You've been listening to Argue Bros. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and leave us a review to let us know what you think. Keep listening, and we'll catch up with you next week.